Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Our gospel is a call for people to come to Jesus. That's what the gospel is. To come to Jesus who came into this world for the express purpose of taking our sin upon him and dying in our place on the cross and rising from the dead and being alive now and ready to come into our lives and to meet us and transform us. That is the gospel.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, in a message titled, Clarity, Courage, and the Gospel. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, so here we are in Ephesians once again, and we come now to our final study here in this epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus. And so now we come to verse 19, where he then includes himself in this request for prayer. And pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so here's Paul's request. And then from verses 21 to 24, he just really concludes the epistle, but that you also may know my affairs, speaking to those there in Ephesus, and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And so there it is, the conclusion of the epistle. But I want to focus today, as we do conclude, I want to focus on Paul's request for prayer. You know, sometimes we can mistakenly think that Christian leaders are, you know, stronger than everybody else, and they're sort of immune to the struggles and the difficulties and the problems that the average Christian person goes through. That is not true. We are just as weak and feeble and vulnerable as anybody else. All that to say, we need prayer. And here's the great Apostle Paul, the person that we think of as invincible, the person who is just, you know, he's filled with courage, and there's never a daunting situation from his point of view, we would think. But the fact of the matter is, Paul was human just like we are. And here he acknowledges his own need and his own dependency on the prayers of others. And so those of us who are in Christian leadership, those of us who are in pastoral roles or positions where we are publicly preaching the gospel or whatever the case, we need prayer. And we depend on prayer. And part of the way we wage war is praying for one another. And part of the way that you make a contribution is to pray for us as well. And we're so thankful that you are. And Paul recognized his own need for that. And so he says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly. So two things that he's asking for specifically, that utterance may be given to me and that I may speak forth boldly. The word utterance here could be, you could translate it actually clarity. Paul is saying, pray for me for clarity. Pray for me so when I open my mouth to speak the gospel that I speak it forth clearly. But not only pray for clarity, but pray for boldness or pray for courage. We need courage to speak forth the gospel. The devil, one of his tactics is intimidation. He's always seeking to intimidate. He wants us to be quiet. He doesn't want us to speak. So he comes with all different kinds of threats. Sometimes they're just, you know, things in our own head. Like, well, you know, if you say that, what are these people going to think about you? But sometimes it's even more physically type of a threat. You know, sometimes people would say, you know, either you be quiet or we'll silence you ourselves by beating you or by casting you into prison or something like that. Of course, those would have been the kinds of things that Paul faced, and those are the kinds of things that some people still face today. We need to know how to say the things that need to be said, and we need to say the things that need to be said, even though they're hard things sometimes. Even though they're things that people find difficult to listen to. So we need that prayer. Courage. It's always taken courage to speak or to preach the gospel. And every generation has taken courage to preach the gospel. Back in Paul's time, obviously, they very much needed courage. They needed God supernaturally to supply them with boldness because they were constantly faced with opposition. I mean, you can hardly read through the book of Acts without on almost every page finding that there's opposition to what they were doing. As they would go into the various towns and into the places that they would go, the cities, the villages, whatever it might be, and as they would proclaim the gospel, lead people to Christ, there was always pushback that was taking place. There were beatings, there were arrests, there were imprisonments, there were stonings. This is what the apostles lived with. Now, through the long history of the church, this has been the experience of many people, like I said a moment ago, right up to this very day in a number of different places. It is still taking your life into your hands in some places to go out and to preach the gospel. So it's always taken courage. We need courage. And how are we going to get that courage? Paul said, pray for me. Pray for me that I would have boldness. Pray for us. Let's pray for one another that I would have boldness. And he said, pray for me that I would be given this clarity, the ability to speak. And notice Paul is looking at this as not something that he is responsible to sort of conjure up. He's asking them to pray that God would give him the ability. He's praying for a supernatural thing. So as you pray for us, pray these things. Pray that God would give us words, clarity, the ability to, in the right way, to bring the gospel to people in a clear, in a straightforward way. And that we would have the boldness to step up and take advantage of the opportunities. But, you know, today, we really do, as I think about this, we need both of these things. We need the boldness, but we really need a lot of wisdom on how to frame what we're going to say these days. You know, there are all kinds of sort of minefields out there. You're walking through a minefield whenever you get up and speak, and especially if you're doing it outside of a context like we're doing it today. You know, here today, there's a lot of grace, and I can pretty much, you know, say anything, and most of you are going to say, yeah, okay, that's fine. You know, some of you might disagree a little bit, give a little bit of pushback here or there, but it's a different story when we go out in public, isn't it? And there you have to have a ton of wisdom, and you have to really be given by God the ability to frame the message in such a way as to not, you know, push people away before they can actually get a chance to hear it. This is sometimes what happens. So Paul says, pray for us that we would have clarity and courage, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul preached the gospel. And we need to think about this for a moment. We all assume that this is what we do. We preach the gospel. And yet, we can think we're preaching the gospel sometimes, and we're really not. The gospel has been, even in churches and from pulpits, the gospel has been confused with other things. But let me just state what Paul preached as the gospel. Paul preached the gospel that said, in essence, this is the essence of the gospel, we are more sinful than we could ever imagine, but more loved than we could ever dream. It's kind of a paraphrase of a Tim Keller statement, but that's the gospel. We're more sinful than we could ever imagine, but we're more loved than we could ever dream. And this love has provided atonement for sin and deliverance from his power. You see, Paul preached a gospel that called people to come just as they are to Christ, who would receive them, forgive them, and cleanse them. That's our gospel. Our gospel is a call for people to come to Jesus. That's what the gospel is. To come to Jesus, who came into this world for the express purpose of taking our sin upon him and dying in our place on the cross and rising from the dead and being alive now, again, forever, alive, and ready to come into our lives and to meet us and to transform us. That is the gospel. But listen, we have to be careful that we don't substitute other things for the gospel. And this happens, and it has happened, and it still happens. And we've got to be on our guard that we do not substitute moralism for the gospel. You see, a lot of what is being presented as the gospel today is really, it's moralism. It's not really gospel. Moralism is essentially, okay, here's the things you've got to do, and then that'll make God happy. That's moralism. The gospel is all about everything God's done. And then we just respond to that. But you see, when we focus too much on particular sins, we have drifted from the gospel to moralism. Now listen to what I mean by this. Think about this with me. When we say things like this, and we've all said it, I've said these things. But when we say these things, we need to be aware of what we're actually doing. When we say things like this, hey, you shouldn't use that kind of language. You know, maybe you're at work, maybe you're in an office or something, somebody's got a foul mouth, and there you are, and as a Christian, you're offended by the way they're talking, and you say to them, hey, you know, you shouldn't talk like that. Or you shouldn't be having sex with your girlfriend or with your boyfriend. Or maybe it's, you know, you shouldn't be in that same-sex relationship or whatever we might say like that. Listen, whether we intend to or not, this is important, whether we intend to or not, we are suggesting that if a person changes their behavior, then they will be accepted by God. This is religious moralism. It is not the gospel. You see, the gospel says whether you're outwardly wicked, like the things we just mentioned, or outwardly seemingly righteous, you are a sinner, nevertheless. And the only thing that you can do to remedy your problem is to come to Christ. And you see, here's what I'm afraid has happened, and this is why we need to understand this, because it is a new day. It is a different time than it has been. What has happened is because we've confused the gospel and moralism, and we've tended to sometimes preach more of a moralism, we have put up sort of a barrier that's preventing people from seeing Christ. It's like we've blurred Jesus behind the barrier of moralism. We've got to get Jesus out in the front. And guess what? When Jesus gets a hold of people's lives, he changes their morality. That's his job. That's not our job. You could get a person to stop smoking, to stop drinking, to stop cussing, to stop fornicating, to stop being in a same-sex relationship. You could get them to do all of that, and still they die and go to hell. Because those aren't the things. Those aren't the issues. You know, if you stop and think about it, I was thinking about this the other day. It's pretty radical thought. It's completely biblical and totally the case. But I think, again, sometimes we've been so influenced by some of these other things. But if you think about it, you know, none of those things that I just mentioned are the things that send people to hell. Did you realize that? People don't go to hell because of those things. People go to hell because they reject God's solution. They go to hell because they don't receive the Savior. This is condemnation, Jesus said, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. He was the light. This is the condemnation is rejecting Christ. We need to preach Jesus, and that people need to come to Jesus. And as somebody says, well, wait a minute, now you're leaving out repentance. What about repentance? Well, look, the turning to Christ is the repentance. That's what it is to repent. It's to turn. The word repent means to have a change of thinking, and that's what happens. You suddenly have a change of thinking. You thought one thing or you didn't think anything about Jesus. Suddenly, you have a change in your thinking process about Jesus. You're going to come to him. And when you come to him, you're going to find that he is going to change you. He's going to give you a whole new moral outlook. He's going to give you a whole new moral standard, but he's going to come and take up residence in you, and that's how that's all going to happen. That's the gospel, and that's what we must preach, and that's what we need boldness to preach. And God help us in these days especially to get that message out there. Don't focus on particular sins. That's an obstacle. So let's not obscure Christ behind a moralistic message. Let's remember Jesus is the message. He is the gospel. What he did, and our objective is to present him to people that they might come to him just as they are, and knowing that he will then do the work in them that needs to be done. And so Paul prayed for that boldness to open his mouth and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. We pointed this out early on, but Paul was in prison when he wrote this and several other epistles. It's interesting that he didn't write this from his pastoral office, but he wrote it from prison. He was an ambassador for Christ. He was a representative of Christ. He was in chains. He says, pray for me that I might have boldness. Paul was chained constantly to Roman soldiers. He would have needed boldness to share the gospel with them. He was in and out of the courts, before the judges, before the kings. Pray for me that I would have boldness. As we follow him through Acts, we see that he had boldness. Every single king he stood before, whether it was Festus or whether it was Felix or Agrippa or prior to them, the Jewish council. And then even later when he stood before Nero, we know that he did what he asked for prayer to do. He boldly spoke to them about Christ. He was an ambassador in chains, iron chains. But the thing that's amazing, and Stott says it here, he said, Paul most, however, is not, or what concerns Paul most, however, is not that his wrist may be unchained, but that his mouth may be open in testimony, not that he may be set free, but that the gospel may spread freely and without hindrance. It is for this then that he prays and asks for prayer also. And then Stott says this, against such prayer, the principalities and powers are helpless. The principalities and powers are helpless against such prayers. We need to pray that God's word will go out. And anybody that you know of who is regularly engaged in proclaiming God's word, pray for them. As I've said already, pray for us. And anyone else you know, put them there that we might boldly speak forth God's word to people, because that's the great need of the hour, that people hear the gospel. That's what's going to make a difference. That's what's going to make a transformation. As we watch our country just kind of unraveling in so many ways before our eyes, and we wonder, well, you know, how can this ever be fixed? What is the solution? The gospel is really the solution, because the gospel deals with the heart, and it's the hearts of people that need to change. And that's going to happen through the gospel being proclaimed. That simple, straightforward message about Jesus, the Savior of the world, who lived and died and rose again and is alive right now and is ready to meet people right where they're at, right in their sin, and he's ready to take them and transform them. That's what we've got to focus on. So God help us to do that. And just as we close finally, let's look at verses 23 and 24. Paul says there finally, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So peace, God's peace, love with faith, and I think faithfulness is the idea here. God is faithful. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are faithful. And then verse 24, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And this last point is this: sincerity, loving Christ in sincerity, is really the issue here. The gospel is so radical, it's so personal, it's so intimate. It brings you into a love relationship, a sincere love relationship with the Lord that becomes the driving force of everything that you are and everything that you do. And if we have a Christianity that's anything less than that, we don't have a real Christianity. Many people have mistaken Christianity for church membership. They would say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I belong to such and such a church. If that's the extent of your Christianity, you've completely missed what Christianity really is. But you could even take it a step further. Maybe you just don't attend church. Maybe you're engaged. Maybe you're involved in all kinds of activities and causes and things like that. And you know what? Again, those things can become a substitute for the real thing. Don't mistake that for the real thing. The real thing is a sincere love relationship with Jesus Christ that so radically alters who you are that it becomes, as I said, it becomes the basis, the motivation of everything that you now do. The way you think, the way you conduct yourself, the way you plan, the way you work, everything now is determined ultimately because the top of the list is Jesus and your personal, sincere, loving relationship with him. And if today you don't have that, then you don't have real Christianity, because that's what it is. It's a sincere, loving relationship with Christ. And Paul says, grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Optimisfits by Ben Corson. If you're living life with depression and hopelessness, or if you know someone else who is, then you need to get this book. Ben is known as a hope evangelist, and in this book, you will learn exactly what it means to live a life of hope. The book Optimisfits, Igniting a Fierce Rebellion Against Hopelessness by Ben Corson, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365. or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we begin a new series in the Gospel of Mark. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.